Hey, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Yeah, I feel like I've been seriously bad well already. And this late enough, I probably just go home, but that's okay. It's fine. One thing I did want to say first, and a little bit on announcements, is I said something last Sunday, maybe I didn't put the year in giving statements. I think I sent an email out for a couple of different email addresses, but I put paper copies in your mailboxes. And I also put kind of a little offering record of all the offerings given for each year, each week. And just some financial balances and stuff like that. So if you have any questions on it, feel free to come to me. And hopefully I made it plain enough to be able to understand it. But yeah, so thank you so much for your giving. And again, I think I said it last Sunday, but it is greatly appreciated. And I'm humbled by the amount of giving that goes into the church. It's pretty awesome. So this morning, I guess it's kind of interesting. I know you're not supposed to say this, but well, anyway, as a public speaker, you're not supposed to say that you don't feel prepared and all this stuff, but that's just downstream again. But I kept rolling around in my head was justification. And so justification sounds kind of like a deep subject, and it is a deep subject, and we're not by no means going to even we're going to scratch the surface maybe a little bit. I want to talk about it. The problem, it kept rolling in my mind, and I kept, and as I'm reading and studying, I couldn't really bring my thoughts together and get them written down and all that stuff. But I couldn't either, could I get it out of my head? Like, it felt like I needed to talk about it. Growing up, I don't know that we talk about justification, and I think it's talking about that we're justified by grace through faith, we are justified through faith by grace. Is that right? I think I said that right. Alone, and it's not of works or anything like that. And so, just studying actually, what does that mean? And does it, and why it matters. I think I was listening to I've talked about this before, about this Theological Touchpoints podcast. This book by Julian Stolzfus, and he has a series on justification, why it matters and all that. And it's really good. Like, I don't believe, like, growing up, I think we shy away from it as Anabaptists a little bit because, I don't know, I just think we do because we like to dwell on the works thing a little bit, and works is important. Like, it's all part of the justification. We are saved by grace through faith alone, not of works, but the works are if there is no works, there is no faith as well. So, but we're saved by being justified through God's eyes or whatever. Yeah, through faith, through believing and confessing Jesus. If you understand what I mean. Anyway, so we tend to shy away because we believe that if you profess to be a Christian, that you are going to follow, you want to be obedient to the Bible and to God's Word. And we see a lot of people that profess to be Christians outside in other denominations and such that I think profess to be Christians, but we don't really see it lived out in their lives. And so, but anyway, I feel like it's an important thing to touch on, and it's mostly I'm going to read some in Romans. I'm probably reading a decent amount of scripture, but first of all, I wanted to just maybe get a few definitions from. I got this from the Strong's Concordance, and kind of what it means. And so it's interesting. Just to be the kind of the root word, I guess, from most of this, I believe. And this would be taking like Greek words. We think of just as being equitable in character for some that is innocent, holy, and righteous. The Son of God, as a God that designates the perfect agreement between his nature and his acts, in which he is the standard for all men. We know that God, God is just. Even in human terms, it's stated to be right or right conduct judged whether by divine standard, which would be God, or according to human standard of what is right. So that's when you think of just. It's interesting as well that righteousness is taken from the Greek word for justice as well. I can't say these words. I didn't go look them up, but the word righteousness would be the character or quality of being right or just. Just to throw that in there as well. The word justified, the word justification only appears about three times in the New Testament or in the Bible itself. But justified is in there a lot more, and a lot of it is in Romans, in Romans chapter 2, I think about verse 5 or something, or chapter 5. To be justified is to render, show, or regard as just or innocent, or be free. And if we go, I'll read a few more definitions here. By God concerning men who are declared to be righteous before him on certain conditions laid down by him. So we are justified according to what God has, what he has said in Scripture, the salvation plan. If we go to Romans chapter 2, verse 13, it says, he's saying there, for not the hearers of the law are just in the... So it's talking about Paul was talking about the law and faith. Verse 13 says, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So he's saying that in order to be justified before God, if you're following the law, you have to follow it fully and perfectly in order to be justified before God. We know that we cannot do that on our own. We cannot fully follow the law of God on our own. Only Jesus was the one who was able to do that. I feel that the complete fulfillment of the law of God would provide a basis for justification in his sight. And we read there in Romans 2:13. There's no such case has occurred in mere human experience, and therefore no one can be justified on this ground. And we can go to Romans, there's a few other verses. I think there's one in Galatians 2, verse 16, I'm going to read. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. In Romans 3, he kind of had he talked about it. I want to read this chapter real quick, and let's see here. Let's read Romans 3, verses 9 through 20. That's what I want to read. That's right. Romans 3, verses 9 through 20. And so, this is where Paul is talking to, saying that all have sinned. Like, there's no righteous between the Jews, whether you're Jew or you're Greek. The Jews thinking that with the law, having the law, that justifies them. He's saying no. He says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. We have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. And, it just goes on. I think this is different verses out of the Psalms. They have all turned aside. They together become unprofitable. Verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so we see, kind of from this negative presentation there, the apostle proceeds to show that consistently with God's unrighteous character, with a view to its manifestation, he is through Christ as a propitiation. So I think actually we want to go into keep reading there, actually in Romans 3, or read verse 25, or actually let's keep reading. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sin that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So interesting that he used, so in verse 25, God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. And if you look up the word propitiation there, see if I can find it here. And this is a, this word actually means, is another word for mercy seat. Back talking about the Ark of the Covenant, talking about the mercy seat where they would sprinkle the blood on the atonement of the sin of the people. It's actually used for Jesus here. Christ, through his expiatory death, or his substitutional death, is the personal means by whom God shows the mercy of his justifying grace to the sinner who believes. His blood stands for the voluntary giving up of his life, so he talks about the blood. By his blood means he's giving up of his life. By the shedding of his blood and expiatory sacrifice under divine judgment, righteously due to us as sinners, faith being the sole condition on a man's part. And so I think that's one of the key things that I have to think about. We talked about it a little bit. It's kind of interesting how the Sunday school lesson was actually, we talked about Jesus leading up to his sacrifice, where he was condemned. Gene, you talked about the blood, you know, the sin is the black, the red being the blood. The sacrifice, so in order for us to be right before God, like to be justified, because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his sacrificial death, shedding his blood, and it talks about, in Sunday school, we talk about why was Jesus, I think this is part of why was he, like, he was so sweating, he was tormented, he was in so much stress, and he kept three times, he said, God, if you know, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And, you know, Rodney brought in the verse of when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But I believe this, God poured out his wrath upon Jesus, and I believe he forsook Jesus for those couple hours. Like if you think what our punishment is to be separated permanently from God. That's what we deserve as human beings. When we are born on this earth, we are born unto sin. We deserve to die. Like that is in order for God to be just, that's what he needs to do. We cannot be close to God. He has to He has to abandon us. He has to. Death is death. It separates us from God. Jesus took that upon himself. He was separated from God for that period of time so that we don't have to. And I think this is the, and all we have to, so God, in order to be still be just and righteous, used Jesus as that substitutionary sacrifice, paid the penalty for our sins, and now he's risen from the dead. Because that he was satisfied, he rose from the dead, and now all we have to do is believe. It says believe and have faith in God, and we are justified and right before God. I can't hardly explain it right, but I don't know, to me it's just amazing that It's simple. If you think about it, we like to complicate things, and yet it's really simple. We are justified before God, before holy, almighty God, and because of Jesus' death, because he took that punishment on us, and all we have to do is believe by faith, it says. I don't know. It's pretty, I don't know if you get, I wish I had a whiteboard to be able to kind of illustrate, you know, I don't know. I thought about that, but then I figured I'd try to mess it up anyway. But you know, you have God. You have God, you have the cross, you have Jesus, you have man. You know, I don't know if you can picture that in your mind or not, but we're dead, we're gone. Jesus up here, he came to earth and he died that substitutionary sacrifice. He took our punishment. We're down here, he took our punishment. And because now Jesus' righteousness, it says, is imputed to us. Like, we have faith in God and believe in him. Now we are called righteous because of Jesus. I don't know, it's just amazing. I want to read a little article that is from, called Justification Matters. It's the Anabaptist Council for Truth, that explains it a little better than what I can tell you. I'll just read some paragraphs out of here. God has made his offer of justification by faith abundantly clear in his word. As Romans 3:21-24 says, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Righteousness and justification are related terms in the Greek. Righteousness speaks of being righteous, while justification speaks of being called righteous. Justification is God's declaration that we are righteous based on Jesus' perfect righteousness. It is something applied to us, not something present in us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous in Christ. We were sinners, and Christ took our sin. Christ is righteous, and we are made righteous through him. How is that righteousness appropriated? Through faith. Specifically faith apart from works, apart from anything we contribute. As Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. It is clear that our obedience, our good works, our righteousness can add nothing to the finished work of Christ. Faith alone justifies. And again, in Galatians 2:16, we find that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Works do not qualify us for salvation. They do not contribute to our salvation, nor do they maintain our salvation. Salvation can only be experienced through faith. The Protestant view is not incorrect in teaching that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. We have no hope without God's gracious offer of salvation through Christ. It is by God's grace we are saved, and we bring no merit, no goodness, but simply submit ourselves to God in humble faith. Our righteousness is in Christ, apart from our works. Where the Protestant view sometimes errs is neglecting to emphasize that true faith always produces works. As James says, faith without works is dead. Paul also calls us to present our members as slaves of righteousness before them. When works are absent, we should not conclude that faith is likewise absent. Yet in our efforts to emphasize the importance of obedience, we hesitate to teach that justification is experienced apart from our works. We fear that if people realize they contribute nothing to their standing before God, they will consider themselves free to sin. We tiptoe around the numerous New Testament passages that teach justification apart from works, concerned that if we teach them as they hear God's word, we will encourage people to sin. If we are saved simply by believing, does that not free us to live however we want? The opposite is most certainly true. Only when we understand the grace of God in Christ's offering us his righteousness, only when we understand the grace of God in Christ offering us his righteousness apart from our works, we will apprehend the call to obedience. Minimizing grace does not result in more godliness, it results in less. So minimizing grace says does not result in more godliness, it results in less godliness. The man left to work either to earn God's favor or keep his bills immense weight of duty, but lacks the empowerment of love. Love for God is a response to his unconditional love for us. If we neglect justification, righteousness made ours, if we neglect justification, which is righteousness made ours through Christ, we neglect the most powerful motivator of Christian obedience. A right understanding must result in a hatred for sin, not a love for it. When we are justified at salvation, God begins the process of sanctifying us. To be justified is to be declared righteous. To be sanctified is to be made righteous. Justification happens in an instant, but sanctification is a lifelong process. Justification and sanctification are inseparable, but they are distinct. The basis of our relationship with God is always Christ's work on our behalf, applied in justification. Who we are has no effect on whether or not we have been justified. And that was in that song that we talked about the different people that were up there. And it doesn't matter who you are, we come before Almighty God. The result of our relationship with God is a desire to please Him. That desire is met by God's enabling grace in the process of sanctification. He changes who we are to make us more like Himself. Paragraphs here. Confusion about the distinctions between justification and sanctification have led to alternative views of justification. The failure to distinguish between that which is foundational to our relationship with God, which is justification, and that which results sanctification, has produced unbiblical definitions of both. Scriptures teach that sanctification is a necessary reality, not just to aspire to, but to experience in daily life. All true believers are being sanctified, some seeing that sanctification is necessary for all believers, make it a condition for us to be saved or us to stay saved. This is, I believe, a distortion of the gospel. So, I don't know if you understood that. Some seeing that sanctification is necessary for all believers, Scripture teaches that sanctification is a necessary reality, sanctification is, not just to aspire to, but to experience in daily life. All true believers are being sanctified. Some seeing that sanctification is necessary for all believers make it a condition for us to be saved, or for us to save. Yeah, there you go. This, I believe, is the source of the gospel. If we make sanctification a condition for justification, we make works the requirement for salvation. I think this is the key. We make works the requirement for salvation. We believe in stark contrast with the scripture already cited that teach that justification is experienced through faith alone. So if we feel like we have to be sanctified in order to come before Almighty, sanctify ourselves before coming before in order to be saved, we're trying to use works. But it says, it's experienced through faith alone, by grace. If sanctification is a condition for justification, we are obligated to be faithful disciples before we can be confident of our justification. But works, or even noble desires, are never a prerequisite for justification. If we make justification or sanctification works a condition for maintaining salvation, we likewise blur the biblical truth of justification. Faith is what saves. Anyway, so I hope that makes sense. Just wanted to touch a little on that this morning, and I feel like if you go home and read Romans chapter 1 through chapter 5, and this is kind of the doctrine of justification. And it's a good passage, and there's a lot to digest in there. And I didn't feel like I wasn't able to bring all my thoughts together, and so hopefully by reading reading some definitions and reading this article, it makes sense to you. But I feel like it's important and to understand how that works. It's in faith. And we all know that, and you know, sanctification and glorification, we could go on, and that could be other subjects that we could talk about, like how God does that. I believe sanctification starts immediately as soon as we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that the Holy Spirit enters us, and that and as soon as it starts working in our lives immediately. But anyway, I think that's all I had for this morning. I trust that God allowed you to hear all these things He wanted me to hear this morning, and we'll lift Him up. So let's stand for prayer.